Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper, took off his outer garment, he took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever is bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you also should do." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You know, how many of you remember this day being called Maundy Thursday? Okay, a number of you. You know, when I was little growing up, I always thought, what an interesting day. It's Maundy Thursday. I mean, I don't know, maybe I was just an exception, but I was a little kid, like, wow, 2 days in a row, Maundy and Thursday, how could that be? Maundy, Thursday. Well, I learned as I got older, it wasn't Maundy because it wasn't spelled like Maundy, it was Maundy, M-A-U-N. I was like, wow, what does that mean? Maundy comes from the Latin term mandata, which is a mandate, a commandment. So today, the church used to call this Commandment Thursday. Commandment Thursday. Do you realize that there were two commands that Jesus gave today? The one, when he said, "As I've washed your feet, so you must wash the feet of others." If you look at the Greek text, this is not an option. It's not like, well, if you feel like it, go ahead. He says, "I have done for you, you also must do for one another." And then in the Holy Supper, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same thing with the cup. He said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. These are not options. These are commands. Now, what's fascinating to me, that if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who record the life, the teachings of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul in 1 Corinthians all record the institution of the Lord's Supper, as we call it. But John never mentions the institution. Beginning with chapter 13, going all the way through 17, he doesn't mention at all the institution of the Lord's Supper. Now, he talks a lot about what went on at the supper, what Jesus said at the supper, what he did, but he never mentions what Jesus did with bread and wine. That's curious. And if you're a student of Scripture, that should make you like think, well, why is that? Did John not know? Of course he knew. I mean, if there's any gospel in the New Testament that talks more about the importance of the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist, it's John's gospel. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of light that has come down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. My flesh I give as real food. My blood I give as real drink. Whoever drinks my blood and eats my flesh has eternal life. Gosh, doesn't that sound like the Holy Supper to you? Sure does for me. But he doesn't mention the institution. It's not like John wasn't there. So what's going on here? Well, John's gospel's different. By the time he's writing his gospel near the end of the first century, theoretically 80 AD, the gospels, many of them were written back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the Lord's Supper was part of the Christian life, the breaking of the bread, as they would call it. What John wants to do is give us a commentary, an explanation of what it means to live as people of the supper, as people who are fed by Jesus. If you're familiar with the gospel account, reading through that narrative that I just read for you, just when you think Jesus is about ready to say, this is my body, this is my blood, he does a startling thing. He takes off his outer robes, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he begins to wash the feet of the disciples. And the 12 were startled. I mean, they were like, what is he doing? He begins to wash their feet. My gosh. Listen, we live in a culture now. I mean, you can't escape it. I bet it's even, are there posters in church about washing hands? I'm sure there's, everybody's supposed to what? Wash your hands. You know, I got to think, if everybody, are we so stupid that we don't know how to wash our hands? I mean, when I was a little kid, my folks taught me how to wash hands. I guess we live in a culture so dumb that people have to be reminded by posters to wash their hands, right? Okay, washing hands. Yeah, washing hands. Have you ever seen a poster recently about washing your feet? Seriously, that's what Jesus does. He's washing feet, not hands. I mean, feet. God, I don't know. I mean, hands can be beautiful. A lot of you women spend a lot of money doing what? Manicuring your hands. Oh, yeah, some of you do your feet too, but your hands, I mean, your feet are always seen, right? Your hands. We spend a lot of money on hands, hand cream, I mean, you name it. But feet? I don't know about you, but sometimes I take off my shoes and whoa. Right? Seriously, I remember I do exercise and play racquetball or like you take off your shoes, like holy schmoly. They stink. They stink. Jesus gets down on his hands and knees and washes feet. Not hands. Anything but feet. Do you know another interesting tidbit? If you look at the Gospels, if you read the narrative of the Passion of Jesus, his suffering, ultimately in his crucifixion, who was the only person that washed his hands? Oh, come on. Pilate! Remember? After the trial of Jesus, he was the only one who washed his hands. And remember what he said? I wash my... Of innocence. He knew he was executing an innocent man. So he wanted to make this big display of washing his hands, saying, I'm innocent of this guy. Innocent. He wanted to be done with this. He wanted to be done with this whole bloody affair. He wanted to get on with his life. He washed his hands. But Jesus never washed his feet. Feet. They make us uncomfortable. They make us vulnerable. Try to walk across glass with feet that have nothing, no shoes on. You can't do it. What Jesus does is downright humiliating. And this didn't go unnoticed by Peter. Because when he came to Peter to wash his feet, he says, no, I'm not going to let you get away with this, Jesus. There's no way that you're going to be humiliated in front of me. Peter, if I don't wash you, you're not going to have any part of me. Peter understood that washing feet wasn't the job of the master of the house. It was the job of the paid servant, the slave. That's who washed feet. Jesus says, you call me master, you call me teacher, you're right. And so I am. And if I, your master and teacher, wash your feet, then you know what? You need to wash one another's feet. As I have done for you, you also should do. And what is so interesting as you look at this, it is here at this juncture when Jesus gives this command of saying, as I have done for you, you also should do for one another. The word do is the intersection between what Jesus did in the washing of feet and what he's going to do with the bread and the wine of the supper. For he would say, this is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Do. This is the intersection of the understanding of what the Eucharist means in our daily lives. And what I mean by that is, let's face it, you and I have an uncanny ability to convince ourselves that despite all of our peccadilloes, you know what a peccadillo is? A peccadillo is like a little sin. Inconsequential, you know, oh, I do some things, but you know what? I'm not killing anybody. I'm not doing anything horrible like those nasty people out there I see on television. I'm not taking a gun and murdering anybody. Oh, you know, I may get mad. That's a peccadillo. Things that we don't think are really big sins. Hey, I never committed adultery. You know, hey, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say if you look at somebody with lust, you can... Well, that's a peccadillo. We can convince ourselves that despite all that, we're basically good people. Really? You know, we are good people. I mean, we're sincere people. I mean, we really want to be okay. And so what we do is we mask ourselves. You know, it's unbelievable. Look, masking. Big. Look at some of you are masked, okay? I mean, somebody came up for communion earlier today, and I didn't know who they were until all of a sudden I realized behind their mask is somebody I knew. We mask ourselves. And I'll tell you what is really great is you can wear these masks now, go into a store with your hoodie, and nobody would know you. Isn't that right? What a picture of how we live our lives. Really, we can mask ourselves. We can be, I'm the great guy in the office. I'm the great gal. I'm the good parent. You name it. We can mask ourselves. And so we can call fooling people cleverness. It's just being clever, okay? Why, we can call our greed, our need to acquire more and keep more and everything else as, well, I just want security. Right? Who doesn't? We can mask bitterness with zeal. Well, I'm just really zealous. Other people don't understand my zeal. And what I see a lot today is that this whole idea of busyness. Everybody's got to be busy, and you got to take your kids here, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Oh, well, I'm just trying to be a good parent. Because my busyness makes me look like I'm really a good businessman, I'm a good mom, I'm a good dad, I'm taking my kids here, I'm doing this. Really? And then at the end of the day, we wonder why we are so exhausted. We get so tired. When the mask comes off and there's nobody around, man. Because, my brothers and sisters, the only person you're fooling is yourself. The only one through it all. And Jesus cuts right to the heart of the matter when he stoops down and starts washing those smelly feet of the disciples. He has to wash our feet. He must wash our feet because he's got to serve us. He once told his disciples, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for everyone else. You see, try as we want to, and we do try. I mean, we really do, to clean up our messes. We try apologizing. We try doing things. We try so many things. And we get so exhausted trying to do that, but we can't clean up our mess. We just can't. And then the food that we feed ourselves with, what we stuff our lives with to try to satisfy our needs, our desires, you know what that food does? It only leads to further exhaustion and death. In the Garden of Eden, it was all about food in the beginning, wasn't it? Eat this, you'll be God. The creator of all things, everything we see, the entire cosmos, stepped into our lives through the womb of a woman named Maria, Mary. He took our flesh. He took our bones. He was human. And he lived the life we could never live. And he died the death we deserved. The meal that Christ would give us this night is life itself, because it is his life. When he would recite those words over the bread, the matzah, and the chalice of wine, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." He offers us himself. He offers us his life. All that he is, he offers us. And in that transaction of communion, we become what we eat. Think about that. We become what we eat. That we are the body of Christ. We are the blood of Christ. We are his very body. And in so doing, Jesus teaches us, what does that mean to be him in this world? It means to learn to put aside your own interests and look after others. To see other people as the world sees, as not as the world sees, as Jesus sees. You know, we live in a world, just as I said, this last Palm Sunday, that's filled with so much division and hatred and darkness and cynicism and skepticism. And it's so easy to get involved in it, isn't it? I mean, all you have to do is watch the television, you can become involved in it. The Lord calls us to a different way of looking at things. And this is the effect of the Eucharist. When he said, "This is my body and my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins," we are called to forgive as he has forgiven us. We're going to say those words as the Lord taught us in the Holy Eucharistic liturgy. He serves us so that we can in turn learn in our own ways, in our neighborhoods, with our families, with our friends, with the people we work with, how do we serve them? The church is not a, in theory, the community of Christ. The church isn't a building like this beautiful church building. The church is seen in her people. The people gathered here around the supper of the Lord, but even more, the people who are then scattered at the end and go out and live the Lord's life, where we live, work, and breathe. And are we going to fail? You better believe it. But we're willing to admit that we fail. Are we perfect? Perfection is not on this side of heaven. And we don't even try to pretend that. But what we do know is that I am forgiven in Jesus. And in that forgiveness, he makes things new in my life every single day. So for God's people, we are hungry people. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Well, you know what? That's exactly what's given to us in the supper. Jesus, the righteousness of God. And through people, through Christ, we share this hope with people. And we're called to stoop down and wash one another's feet. So we come tonight as we remember this night, the night that the Lord gave us the unending feast of the presence of his flesh and blood with us in reality, in time. And we don't come as complete and whole people. That's what Peter thought at first. But we come precisely because we're broken. And we're hungry. And our feet are dirty. And the Lord comes to us because there's nowhere else for us to go. We come to Jesus because he serves us tonight. He who calls himself the bread of life, he is the suffering servant who Isaiah said laid down his life for the ransom of many. It is our Master who welcomes us to his table with a shocking example of what it means to be people who live nourished by his supper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.